decided. And today we're going to do the second part, follow Jesus. Last week we talked about I have decided, and it meant that we'd have to make some decisions to follow Jesus. We'd have to make some decisions to get rid of some distractions. And Stephen was like perfect last week. He's messing with Michael. I'm like, Stephen, stop distracting Michael. All right. But sometimes we have distractions in our life, and it's just time to get rid of distractions so we can follow Jesus. Now, so as I'm, you know, been thinking about this, how many of you remember the old hymn, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus? Lane, if you put the words up on there, so I decided, besides following Jesus, I want to look up, you know, a little bit of history, especially when you have songs that are old hymns. Many, many times, there's a story behind this. So don't Google it now. Put your phones down. Everybody turn off your phone. Look up here. Okay. But I did Google it in a couple of places, and it was quite interesting. Somewhere in the mid-19th century, there was a Welsh missionary over in India. Not Indians. India. And he was preaching about Jesus, and this family, this man and his family, received Jesus. They actually converted from Hinduism to become a Christian. Now, back then, in the middle of the 19th century in India, if you did that, it was called a capital offense. And there's a capital punishment. Hey, guys, I hear something. Is that in my pocket, this little staticky thing going on? Or did they turn off mics? Can you hear that? I'm distracted. What can I tell you? Off? Okay. I'm not distracted now. Focus, Dee, focus. Okay, sorry. Okay, in India, it was a capital offense, which meant there was a capital punishment that went with the offense. And if you had converted, they'd kill you. If you had converted to Christianity, they'd kill you. So what happened is the villagers found out about this man and his family, and they threw him in the center of the town square, and they said to him, the gentleman, and I forgot his name, he said, if you would renounce Jesus, we won't kill you. And he said, I have decided to follow Jesus. And then the head of the town said, well, listen, I hate to tell you this, but this is really serious, and we're going to kill your wife. And they go and kill his wife. Right? And he says, no turning back. No turning back. And while they're killing him, he says the next part, the cross before me. What's it say? The cross behind me. No, it's before me. The world behind me. Excuse me. Talk about muffing it up. The world behind me, the cross before me. So I have decided to follow Jesus. I don't think we understand. I mean, that just takes it to a whole nother level when something like that happens. And believe it or not, in the world today, probably not here in the United States, but in the world today, people are being persecuted, beaten, imprisoned, and even killed for their faith. For I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. So as I'm going about this series, I'm sitting there thinking, wow, You know, I've talked many times with Christopher Alam. He's a missionary to Africa, Asia, and just all over there. And he'll tell me stories how people will walk for miles to come through a crusade to hear about Jesus. And it's not just because they don't got anything going on Saturday night. But they want to hear about Jesus, and they'll get up, and they'll get up early in the morning, walk all day to go to a crusade to hear about Jesus. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, we got few raindrops on a Sunday morning. Nah, I'm rolling over. I don't think we understand the depth of following Jesus. Okay. Now, I don't have the liberty of hitting the snooze button because I have to be here. But, you know, it's really interesting, the commitment and the I've decided. So, now, I could probably tell you a whole lot of things about decided to follow Jesus because I'm Pastor D and I expect everybody here at 9 o'clock. I expect you down in prayer, intercessory prayer, da 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 da. Oh, yeah, that's only you, Pastor D, right? And I'm sure my opinion has about 2 cents in the game here, but I really would like to know what Jesus says about I've decided to follow him. So we're going to look at some scriptures because I think what Jesus says is probably better than what I say. And maybe you'll believe what Jesus says instead of me. Be here at 9 o'clock. I want everybody up front, tuned in, up here, right? Yeah, that was 9:30 today, right? Be here at 9:30. Don't give me that, yeah. Okay. So, how about we talk about what Jesus says? Now, if Jesus walked right down this aisle today, how many of you would have said, oh, yes, I'm going to follow you, right? Well, Jesus had the same thing happen in his day. He'd walk around town and people would start following him. All right? But did you read some of the other accounts? He also had a whole lot of people take a left turn. He had a lot of the crowd say that said they were following him reach a point and they'd turn left. And I call it the groupies also. You know, they say they were disciples. They're the groupies. They run to every meeting you have. All right? They got to a point where they thought Jesus was saying, you know, eat my body, drink my blood. And, you know, and they're like, this guy's crazy. And they took a left turn. And at that point, the only bunch that was left was his 12. All right? So follow Jesus. I think we should find out what Jesus says by that. So if you're taking notes, what does it mean to follow Jesus the Bible way? What does it mean to follow Jesus? So if you turn over to Mark chapter 8, I bought myself a new Bible for Christmas. Bought myself my own Christmas present because I was going through my Bibles and they're so underlined. And I thought, you know what? You need a challenge. A fresh Bible, no lines all over it. So you're going to endure a new translation. It's called the ESV, English Standard Version. And it's you got the traditional King James, you got the New King James, you got the Message Bible, and then you've got this English Standard one. It's kind of in the middle of the road of I get it, I can understand some of the terminology, okay? So I'm breaking you in as I break in my new Bible. And I will tell you just personally, I started in the book of John on the day after Christmas, all right? And I haven't even made it through John. I just keep going through it and underlining it. Okay, that's just a totally side road. You get the benefit. Buy yourself a new Bible every once in a while. I heard of a minister, an African minister, and he gets a new Bible every year. And he reads through the Bible every year and marks it up till pages are falling out. Well, for most of you, how many years did it take until the pages started falling out? Decades. Some of mine I've had, you know. Okay, so obviously I haven't been reading it like this guy. So take the challenge. Buy yourself a new Bible. Go to Ollie's, dirt cheap Bibles down there. Though they did not have the ESV because I did try buying one there. Okay, I'm not lost. Today we're going to talk about what does it mean to follow Jesus. What does Jesus say about following him? Mark 8, starting at verse 27. Mark 8, starting at verse 27. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. Okay, now, he's taken these guys on a walk with him. And I just personally, this is me putting a little of my own personality in it. I think he purposely took him through Caesarea Philippi, these villages. And you know why? They were known for their many temples of worshiping what we would call false gods or idols. And they just had tons of these churches that you worship idols in. So they call it temples. As a matter of fact, to this day, if you were to go to Israel, who's gone to Israel? I know Beth has. Anybody else? It's on my bucket list. Ruth has, all right. I put it on my bucket list, okay? But if you were to go there, a lot of times you can do the tour of where Jesus walked. The tour guides will tell you, you see all these ruins, these piles of rubble, this pile over here in Caesarea Philippi, this pile over here, this pile over here. Those were all temples where they worshiped gods, foreign gods, all right? So Jesus has taken them on this walk, and I personally believe that he's saying, hey, you see all this stuff? This stuff, this way of doing life, this stuff, I'm going to show you something better. I'm going to show you how life's better my way, okay? Now, how many of you were attracted to Jesus because he offered you something? How many of you remember when you met Jesus, the reason why you met Jesus is because he gave you something? Personally, the reason why I went with Jesus is because at that point my heart was broken. My brother had just been killed in a car accident, and I hurt like, you know what? He was offering me a healed heart, so I went with him. Okay, and later on I found out there's a whole bunch of other good reasons why I went with Jesus. But back at that, Jesus was offering me something, okay? Now, I'm pretty sure nobody went with Jesus. Adam, did you go with Jesus because he says, I want you to be crucified just like me and be persecuted?
No.
I don't think there's anybody that did that. Anybody? That's why I went with Jesus. No. We went with Jesus because he was offering, just like Peter. Just like Peter. Jesus offered Peter something, and Peter decided to go with Jesus. What did Jesus offer Peter? He said, Peter, Peter's in his boat, Peter, come and see, come and follow me. And Peter's like, ah. And then next thing, he goes, all right, I'll try it. And he does, he tries it. Next thing you know, his boat is filled with fish. And probably about then, Peter's having one of these, I call ice cream headaches, going, oh my gosh, this guy comes into me and he gives me one word, hey, come and follow me. And next thing I know, wow, I think I'm going to follow him. Okay? Jesus offered him something. And that's what got Peter into following him. Now, Peter's life really gets deeper than all of that. Okay? You probably could call him a shallow Christian. But, you know, in the beginning, how many of you are just pretty shallow? Jesus, I need peace in my life. Jesus, I need a miracle in my life. Jesus, I need healing in my life. Jesus is offering stuff, okay? So, how many of you, let me ask you this. How many of you follow Jesus because of his goodness? How many of you follow Jesus because you were such a screw-up and you had a pile long of sins and you found out Jesus would forgive you? And the weight of all the crud was just overwhelming. So Jesus, you found out he would forgive you. Okay, and I could probably go on a list. So listen, I found out that Jesus would heal the brokenhearted, and my hands went up. I did that. Some of you found out Jesus would forgive you, and your hands went up. Some of you just found out that he loved you, and he was good, and your hands went up, okay? So now, back to my story. I'm not lost. So Jesus is taking these guys on a walk through Caesarea Philippi and all these things, and he's looking at all these devil-worshipping and just crazy, goofy worshiping of idols. And he says, listen, they're offering this, and that the stuff that they offer most of the time is so hard. Things you have to do, money you have to shell out, just goofy. But the thing I'm going to offer you is just wonderful. Come and follow me, all right? So let's go back. All right, let's go back here. We are at Mark 8, starting at verse 27. And when Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages, so he takes them for a walk in the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asks them, who do people say I am? All right. Did you read their answers? Okay, read their answers. Okay, who do people say that I am? And one of them says, oh, John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Others say one of the prophets. Now, I want to just tell you something. That is the craziest answers. Do you know why? They just chopped off John the Baptist's head. Okay? And you think I'm, what? and moi? Crazy. And Elijah, he'd been dead for a long, long time. And I forgot to Google how many years. You can do that later. Don't put your Googles on right now. Okay, let's just say he'd been dead for 100 years. And you're dishing out a crazy answer. And the prophets, they've been dead. You know why? Because these guys really kind of believed in this reincarnation stuff. Then Jesus turns around and he says, okay, verse 29. But who do you say I am? And Peter answers, you are the Christ. You are the Christ. Now, we know, how many of you know Peter got the right answer? Okay, but you know, Peter really didn't understand what he just blurted out of his mouth, because it was only the Holy Ghost that told him that. Because as you read on, go ahead to verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. I just see him looking you in the eyes and he go, listen, this is what's going to happen to me. This is what's going to happen to me, and they're going to kill me, but I'm going to rise again. I mean, plain as day. And Peter, what does Peter do? Okay, I love this part. I love this guy, Peter. Everybody should have a Peter in their life. They keep you on the edge. And then you go, what did you say? Okay, and Peter took him aside and rebuked him. Okay, how many of you have rebuked Jesus? How many of you would even think of rebuking Jesus? I mean, Jesus, you're going to walk up to him and you're going to rebuke him? Now, I probably in the past, and occasionally, say, you know, listen, when I get to heaven, I have a few bones to pick or questions. But then someone told me, when you get to heaven, you're going to know everything and it's not going to make a hill of beans. All right. But some days I have these days, you know, but rebuke Jesus? Rebuke Jesus? I don't think we get it. So, dear Peter, so what happens next? What happens next? Verse 33. But turning... So he rebukes, Peter rebukes Jesus, but turning, Jesus turning and seeing his disciples, he rebukes Peter and he says, get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. All right. Now, number one, when he said, get behind me, Satan, he knew Peter wasn't Satan, but he was being motivated. Anybody know anybody that was kind of motivated by the devil? Don't look at your spouse today, okay? Uh-huh. I've done some really dumb things, and thinking back, all right. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Following Jesus or becoming a wholehearted follower of Jesus, that means you're more concerned about the things of God. That's what following Jesus is. Then being concerned about yourself and the things of the world. So if you're taking notes, following Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus, this means you're more concerned about the God stuff. You're more concerned about the things that God's all about. That's a follower. Okay, look at your neighbor and say, follower. Follower. Yeah, all right, follower. All right, so when I decided to follow Jesus, I was more interested in the things of God. Now, sitting in this room, oh my gosh, I got this, folks, I got you guys. I know a bunch of you, you're all different. Some of you, I know a little bit about your history. You come from this kind of background. You come from raised this way, different kinds of churches. You're just different. Thank God you're different. Okay. And you do a whole bunch of different things. But there is nothing compared to what Jesus has done for me that what I do or what I want to do amounts to a zero. There is nothing that you value so highly that you do and you want compares to knowing him. Listen, especially if you've been born again as long as I have, color your hair every 4 weeks, you will know there is nothing like knowing him. There's like nothing like knowing him. Amen? Okay. I just said that for the fun of it. Look at verse 34. Now, so what's a follower of Jesus? Someone who is more concerned with the things of God. So get real quiet here and think about your own life. Am I more concerned with the things about God? All right. And you know, sometimes I have to make some adjustments in my life because I get a little, okay, open your eyes. Don't close your eyes again. Okay, stay with me. All right. Verse 34, and calling the crowd to him and his disciples, he starts to teach them. Now, the word disciple, okay, it's just not talking about 12. The word disciple, if you look it up, simply means a follower. So yes, those were the 12 were part of the bunch, part of the crowd. And then he's got a bunch called the disciples, the followers, and then he's got the big 12. All right? So if you're a follower, you are now a disciple. But you got to do some things. All righty? Now, Jesus says, I want you to do three things. Ready? What do they say? If you want to come and, I'm going to say, follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So write down these three things, what followers do. Followers do this. Deny, take up your cross, and follow me. All right. So he's really saying, you do all of these three things, you're a disciple or a follower. You do all these things, and you are a follower. Okay, listen, I would probably give you 10 things to do. Because you walk around my house, I got lists. And I want this done, I want this done. Jesus, so cool. Three things. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Now, before we get into, I'm going to give you 5 levels of what a follower gets to. But let me say this. We're all at different levels. Some of you, anybody gets born again this past year? Okay. Anybody get born again the past 5 years? Okay. I know somebody should put their hand up. That's okay. I know some people. How many of you have been saved since you were a little kid? All right. So we're at different levels. Okay. And then we have some that kind of get off the boat and they're over here and they just got back. All right. So some of us might be at this level in their following Jesus. Some of you might be like over here. And some of you are like, oh, I am been saved. I just am more spiritual than all of you. Yeah, we know where you are. Yeah. Right, all right, all right. Well, we got people. All of you are at different levels. And it's really interesting. Sometimes I've seen this, and it causes war in a marriage. Everybody say war. Husband and wife get saved. And those wives want their husbands to be up here. And maybe they're just starting here and they got war. So be nice to Benny. I'm on Benny's side. Okay. Just take it easy. All right. A pastor friend told me this story. You talk about at different levels. He had just been ministering about healing in his church. And would anybody like to come up after, you know, the altar call? Would anybody like to come up? And this gentleman came up, and he actually gave his life to the Lord that morning. But, you know, wait a minute. What were they ministering on? Healing. So the gentleman received Jesus, but he also had some symptoms of cancer in his body. So the minister said, hey, I just want you to stand over here and start cursing the cancer. Just stand over here and start cursing the cancer. Now this guy is like 5 minutes born again. And you know what he does? You beeping, beep, 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 cancer, effing, beeping, bomb, 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 cancer. This is a true story. And I love raw Christianity. That's raw. That's all the guy knew, okay? Some of us would be, oh, get your nose all bent out of shape. And you know why you do that? Oh, well, they're not as religious as I am. They don't act like me. They don't talk like me. Thank God. All right. So we have people come Listen, we have people at YCF this morning. They're at this level, this level, this level, and nobody's made it up to this level, including me. Okay? But Jesus wants a church full of different levels. Yeah! So we can help one another. There is nothing more boring than a whole bunch of people at the same level. You know why? Because then they start this trivia pursuit. Trivia, I know more than you. I know more. All right, I don't know where I am. All right. I pray to God that we have more people coming in at different levels, and it's okay. And we embrace everybody at every level. And who was I talking with today? Oh, Matt, we can have some goofy things walk in here. Different flaky levels. I use that word flaky. That's okay. We're going to pray about it. We're going to be really wise about it, all right? But that's just the way it is. And I will truly say churches will die. Churches die when they all think they're at this level and anybody else comes in and they've got their nose up and bent out of shape. Churches die that way. We should embrace everybody that comes in. Okay? If I only told you what is sitting here. we have sitting here, you know? And you should say, yay, Pastor D, I'm going to embrace them. I'm going to love them, okay? And matter of fact, everybody look at your neighbor and say, it's okay, you're here. It's okay, you're here, all right? That means I don't care what level you're at, but thank you, Jesus, right? Because listen, also, you stick around long enough. You stick around long enough. All these different levels, flakes, nuts, and fruits. Okay, You stick around long enough, you're going to start to grow. You stick around long enough, you're going to start to mature. Yes, Jesus, have them mature. Stop bugging me at 3 a.m. for silly things. Okay, you'll start to mature. You're going to grow, all right? And you're going to grow in the things of God. I remember reading this in a book, so I'll probably get all the details, but this gentleman was visiting a foreign country, I'm going to say some country in Europe, and he's at the town square, and he sees a local. I don't know how he knew he was a local, just a local guy sitting there, and the visitor comes up, and he goes, oh, are there any famous people born here? And he says, no, just a bunch of babies. That is wrong in my ears because you are all born babies and you grow up. And I love babies. Everybody love babies? I love when they have poopy diapers now. I just say, here, they're yours, you know, something like that. It's okay. But we're at different levels. And, you know, if you're expecting, you know, the heroes and the famous people that are, you know, everybody that walks in, you're disappointed, okay? You're all at different levels, all right? And we love it. We love it. We love it when you grow up too, okay? So today, I want to go over a couple of things that I believe that is going to help you understand your level. Everybody say, I have a level. All right. Your level in following Jesus, all right? Because everybody say, I'm following Jesus. Okay. Okay, I'm following Jesus, but I may be at this level. And really, the truth of the matter is, the reason why you need to know what level you're at, and any level is fine, but the reason why you need to know what level you're at is so you can go to the next one. And then, are you motivated to go from level 2 to 3? Are you going to make some changes to go to level 4 and 5? So I can give you a whole bunch of, I'm going to give you 5 points here, and you can take notes, and you can just do nothing with it. But the Bible says, faith without works. All right, so I'm going to give you some words, but you got to do something with it. And hopefully, you're kind of ready to get out of this level and go to the next level, all right? I'm ready. Matter of fact, I've really just, my own personal life, it's kind of been how I hit 2015. My cry to the Lord is, Lord, I want to go higher. I want to know you deeper and wider. And I don't care if you've been born again 50 years. That should be the heart cry. All right? But like we learned last week, it will take you finding out where you are and then making some decisions, okay? Otherwise, we're just going to be here or here or here. All right. So now I'm gonna tell you, so I didn't plagiarize, but I heard these 5 points at a leadership conference 2-3 years ago, and I wrote them down. I thought, man, this is good stuff. And I actually have chewed on it for about 2-3 years. And the Lord says, today, dish it out. So I'm going to dish it out. I'm going to tweak it a little bit that it's more of me, but it just made so much sense. So following Jesus, the levels that you'll know where you are so you can keep going to the next level. All right? Anybody want to go to the next level? Okay, level number one. Level number one is for following Jesus is the crowd. The crowd. Okay, now you notice in the beginning Jesus was turned around and he started talking to the crowd. Okay, so this is what Jesus says to the crowd. Come, see. Just come and see. Come and see. He says that to Peter, right? He said it to Peter. Hey, Peter, come and see and follow me. He said it to all his disciples at some point in time. Come and see and follow me. And actually, that's what Sunday morning is. Hey, come and see and follow Jesus. All right? Come and see. Everybody say, come and see. All right, come and see. I love come and see. All right, now, when you come and see, we got people on different levels, but that's okay. But we're just saying, hey, come on, see. Matter of fact, how many of you have a home group at your house? Your home group should be, hey, come and see. Real basic. Okay, just come and see, come and see, come and see. Now, come and see is also not just church. Come and see is the people that you meet. Those that are far from Jesus. Just say, hey, come and see. Come and see. Go talk to them. Come and see. Real simple. Not hard. So level number one, and I'm not going to say, oh, this is a bad down here level. Let's just say level one. All right? Level one, Jesus says it's to the crowd, and he's saying, come and see. Now, I love it when people say they come and see. Pastor D, the music is too loud here, especially youth band. Youth band, sit in the back, undo your hearing aid, all right, and it'll be okay. But just come and see. Don't check out because I just come and see. Have me a smile in the back of me. Pastor D, it was loud. I love it. How it did loud, all right. That first note that it hit, I was like, whoa. Okay. But, you know, when Jesus says come and see, I think he believed walking with him was good and fun. Everybody say fun. Fun. All right. So you can come to church and have fun. You can gather together and have fun. Heck, in the world, you have fun. Some of it not good fun. Right. All right. So come and see. Have fun. Jesus is fun. He's also kind of serious, too. But when you come and see, it's fun. Such as Super Bowl. Super Bowl is just about fun and food and fun and food. All right? And it is also about connecting. That's that come and see part. When we did the Hoop It Up is the basketball hoops down there on Thursday night. The worm on the fish hook was fun. Come and see, neighbor boys. Come and see. Come and see. And Jesus is fun. And you know what? We started, it took 3 years to reel them in. And now they come into the building after they're dirty and sweaty. And thank you, Harvest the Blessing. We dish out all sorts of junk food to them. And now they stay for a Bible study. But beginning, it was the crowd. And what did Jesus say to them? Come and see. Come and see. All right. I like come and see. All righty. How many of you like come and see? All right. Now, okay, moving right on. Level two. Level two is the congregation. Following Jesus is to the congregation, and this one says, come and join us. So if you're writing notes, number two is to the congregation. Come and join us. Where's my Melissa? Melissa Altland over here. Melissa Altland was a come and see. Actually, you all were come and see. And then Melissa decided to come and join us on Tuesday morning. Tuesday morning, we have a ladies group. And she hauls in little Matthew. And it's an effort to get here. Little babies. Okay. All right. And she decided to come and join us. She went from come and see to come and join. How many of you have gone from come and see to come and join? Yeah. All right. Come and join. Now, you know when you've done the come and join is you now say to people, this is my church. Instead of, oh, that's Pastor D's church. If it's still that's Pastor D's church, one, you're mad at me about something. Oh, yeah. Or you're still in the crowd and you're looking. That's okay. But when you get to the next level, what was our next level? Congregation. That's when it's your church. That's when you're a part of it. All right. And listen, everybody's welcome to come and join in. You don't have to pay money to join in. You don't have to give up your to join in. We're just going to say, hey, come and join in. All righty. Now, next level, number three, committed. You come and grow. Number three, you come and grow. Now, how many of you, listen, let me just say this. Salvation wasn't the end of the line. The day you got born, it wasn't, that's it. The train stopped. That was the beginning. And after salvation, you need to come and grow. Yay, please grow. Okay, now, how do you grow? Yay, get involved. This past year, we did actually a form of grow groups, small groups, home Bible fellowships, cell groups, whatever word you like to use. We just revamped ours and we call them grow groups. But last year we started in February and we did the Marriage on the Rock here. And we asked you to come and join. And you know, the people that came and joined, they grew, right? Grow groups, that's what they do. Come and join. You're going to grow. All right. So grow is good. And listen, I'm telling you, the only way you grow is you get involved. I have a dear friend. I have a dear friend. He is and his wife, because of her work schedule, and he's now got a disability, and they just got a zillion excuses. It's a bunch of excuses, a bunch of junk. Okay. And they just do life by themselves. They turn their TV is on all the time, and only Good Star, Daystar, and whatever star, and that star. That's all they do is have Christian broadcasting going on. And he comes and talks to me. He is so goofy. I mean, goofy stuff. He talks about goofy stuff, Jim. And I'm going, you know why? You didn't come and join. Don't hit Scott. He's not goofy. Okay, you know why my friends are like that? They haven't come and joined. They haven't come and joined, and they're just isolated, and isolated upon isolated, you get goofier and goofier. And then your spouse says, yay, that's good. And you say, yay, that's good. And we got two goofies going on here. All right? And they need to get involved and grow. And some of this flaky stuff would fall off where you'd go, oh, yay, they're here, instead of, oh, my gosh, they're here. What is he going to, he's got the goofiest things he talks about. Okay. So what you need to do is join a group. Okay, now, everybody say host. Can you pop that up? Host. Host. One of the easiest ways is to join a group. We have ladies groups, we have guy groups, we have singles groups. And this, starting in February, and I haven't really picked the start date because I'm working out some details, I am going to walk up to you. And I did. I said, Tom, I want you to host a group. Martha, did he tell you about this? Oh, good. I thought he was good. He didn't even tell you. Okay. I asked them to host a group. Talk about being on the spot. Okay. I asked them to host a group. Host. H. Have a heart for people. O. Open your door. Open the doors of your house. Open the doors of a coffee shop. I'd love to do this at Planet Fitness. They got that little front area. Do it. All right. Or a restaurant or something like that. Open your door. Let people in. And S is serve a snack. And if you're not a baker, good, don't bake. Go throw out a bag of pretzels. And the last one's T. And we did this, and it was so successful for the first time. Turn on a DVD. Come on. Well, someone said, oh, well, I only have a sofa. We can fit three people. Good. Put some pillows on the floor. They can sit on the floor. Okay? Host a group. If you don't want to go to a group, host your own group. Start your own group. That's how y'all met years ago. A group. You guys been friends for 30 years. Yeah, forever. All right. So everybody say, host a group. Now, notice I didn't say lead a group. The DVD does the lead. And then you can just ask some questions. All right, so that's the way you get involved. And that's the way you grow. And I'm telling you what, I saw this happen. Penny got lied into leading the singles. I made the mistake, I called it leading. Penny, I want you to lead the singles group. I can't do it. I said, okay, just host. And then I had to really fluff it up. And we did. She hosted this group where we tossed in a DVD. And I watched Penny grow. Did the same thing to Buck. Buck. I made the mistake of saying, Buck, would you lead the men's group? Oh, I can't do that. Then I backpedaled. I said, Buck, can you host and toss in a DVD? All right. He's not here. I'm going to talk about him. Okay. I watched Buck grow. You will grow when you're in a group. You want to go to the next level? Get into a group. Get involved. All right? And you know what? The fun, amazing thing is you start helping other people. Not only are you growing, but you're helping other people. And I always feel good when I help people. Do you feel good after you help people? Yeah, you do. So, what level was that? I don't even know what level one. Is that what? Three. Okay, let's go on to number four. Oh, by the way, excuses not to get into a group. Excuses. I'm going to shoot you now. I don't have enough time, Pastor D. How many of you know there's 24 hours in a day? How many hours do you have in your day? 24. How many hours do you have in your day? 24. Did you get gypped and get 22? No, you have 24. It's how you use those 24. My friend Ellen over here, amazing. For a long time, a single mom. Now she's married. Okay. She would, single mom, working full time, get her kid to karate and then go to the group. She just moved her 24 hours around. You can do it. Don't give me your excuses. You may be running in like, I'm here. Some of you do that on Sunday morning, okay? It's okay. All right. Everybody say, come. What was that? What's number three? Come and what? Okay, come and grow. Now we're on number four. Here we go. Number four, this is the core. All right. If you've been a part of YCF for a while, we ask you to serve. I quit. I'm leaving. I can't believe they're going to ask me. Yeah, serve. Okay. Communion fellowship was last week. It took people serving. They were setting up tables. And you know where the even more fun is? I mean, fun, I just eat dessert on communion fellowship. It's called a free day. Once a month, I have a free day. Start another good day. Yeah, free day. Start again. Okay. And then I talk to people, and occasionally I do put some real food on here. But afterwards, after you start leaving, fun is serving. And we're washing tables, and I get a little, Kathy's not, she's downstairs. I get a little, okay, I got to remember to calm down. But serving, washing tables, throwing tables, moving, vacuuming, and then we start talking to each other. Jim Cashman, notorious for grabbing a vacuum cleaner. He's serving, he's vacuuming, he's serving, he's vacuuming, and he's talking. And I want to go, stop talking, keep vacuuming, stop talking, keep vacuuming. But he is doing it. And you know what? He's met people. I actually watch him, I watch him pour into people, because then I can tell he stopped vacuuming, and I go, he's pouring. He's changing lives. You change lives when you serve. Not only do you put the tables back. Okay, how many of you are going to believe God with me are going to replace all those big brown tables for all those nice lightweight ones? I'm like, okay, in Jesus' name, that's the year we're going to do that. All righty. Serve. First hit in our church is you serve in the foyer. You're a greeter. Hi! That's all you have to know is one word. Everybody practice with me. Hi! All right, now if you want to get to the advanced level, hi, we're glad you're here. All right? But I want to tell you, you don't know what happened to get someone in their car to church, the war, the hurt, the trauma that people might walk in, and they're going to get a smile and hi. Because I believe that people's lives are changed by loving them. Okay, is that so hard? No. All righty. Now, everybody say retired. Okay, I'm going to talk to retired servers. I know some of you are retired servers. I used to, Pastor D, I already did my stuff. I don't need to do it anymore. Pastor D, I'm done with that. I served already. Now, I know there's some certain circumstances, and actually I have, without looking, I have a really dear couple, and because of circumstances, but what you don't know is they serve me by prayer. And they actually serve me in praying for me. But you have to ask me. Most of you can't get away with that, okay? Or usually, Pastor D, I used to serve, but then, you know, somebody said something or they changed the way I used to do it, so I'm not serving anymore. Everybody say serve. Serve. It takes everybody serving. God wants everybody serving. It's good for you. It's good for everybody else. So everybody say all. All serving. All right. Okay, are you retired servers? Are you going to join in this? Amen. Amen. Without naming names, I've got some senior ladies that come in here 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. Seniors. It doesn't matter. Sometimes the weather, but mostly they're seniors, and they come in and they set stuff up. Still serving. Still serving. Amen. I copied this down. I get all these neat quotes. We're going to play together as a team. We're going to believe in each other. We're not going to criticize each other. We're not going to talk about each other. We're going to encourage. We're going to play as a team. It's been on my desk. I probably read it every time I grab it. I read it a couple times a week. And that's because I believe we serve together and we're a team. And it's fun. And it's good. Amen. I don't know. I just wanted to read that there. Okay, last one, because I know you just love all this stuff. Last one. Level 5, commissioned. Come and die. How many like to do that one? Get die. Everybody say die. Yeah, not really. Okay. Come and die simply means I'm going to give my life to him. I'm going to lay my life down for him. Die. All righty. I'm going to serve his purposes, not my purposes. Die. That's what it means. All right. So, I'm going to be the godly man in my home. I'm going to die and be the godly man in my home and in my job. I'm going to be the godly wife in my home for my children, not just on church. I walk in, glory be, hallelujah, praise the Lord Jesus. And then we go home. So commissioned to come and die is what you do every day. If you're a high school student, it's not just what you do at youth group. It's what you do in your high school. I'm going to die and serve the Lord, his interested. I love my college kids. I'm just going away. I just want to go away to college. I just want to get out of my parents' house. They're a bunch of, and I'm just going to, you know, and they've been here and they, no. You go on your college campus and you serve him. You serve him and you live for him and his purposes. All right. Now, how many of you have a job? You go to work and you're thinking, I'm not inviting anybody from my place of work here because they really know how I am there. Well, you need to come and die. Yeah. That's right. You need to be the salt and the light, not just here, but there. And yeah, Sometimes they're going to make fun of you. They're going to talk about you. You're not getting invited to the Christmas party. That's all right. Just come and die. Amen? All righty. Okay, just a real close up. We're going to do this really fast. Three things you need to do to follow Jesus. And he said that was to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. Deny. Deny. Phew. There's a lot of things I like to do. There's a lot of things I used to do. And those are the things I'm just going to deny. Because they're not good things anymore. Anybody have a list of things you used to do? They're not good things to do anymore, right? You don't need your mama to tell you that. You know that. You're born again. All right? So I'm going to deny myself. All right? And really, you need to let go of anything that's between you and God. If you've got something that's between you and God, just let go of it. That's how you deny. Deny. Stay away from it. Deny. Okay, second one, pick up your cross. By the way, when it says cross, it's not talking about jewelry around your neck. When you read cross, it's not talking about the jewelry you have on your neck. Cross in the Bible has to do everything with execution, death. It's not the jewelry, okay? So it says you need to take up your cross. That simply means I'm just going to die to some of my desires, and I'm just going to follow after the Lord. I'm just going to die to some of those things that I think I need, think I want, and I'm just going to die to that, and I'm just going to follow after the Lord. And I will guarantee you, I don't say that very often, I will guarantee you, when you do that, you'll look back maybe a year later and say, what was I even thinking? That was what I wanted to do? Because when I followed after him, it was so much better. So much better. All right? So, deny, die, and follow him. Follow him. All righty. Now, follow him. This scripture that we just read in Mark chapter 8, what was it, verse 34? All right. The same event is recorded almost, except for by one word, in Luke chapter 9. Write it down. You don't have to turn to it. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And there's one word that Luke uses. Oh, you did put it up. It says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me, the D word, daily. Listen, it's great to follow Jesus when you have a crisis. Ding! When push comes to shove, you got things going. But it is so much better to follow him daily. Everybody say daily. Yeah, daily. This is really what it was meant. Deny yourself, deny things daily. Die to some of this junk daily and follow him daily. Not just Sunday morning when you roll in here. Okay, daily. Daily is what you do when you leave here, in your home, where you work, when you're driving, daily. Okay, daily. All righty. Now, Jesus was really interesting about this. He said, when you follow him, there's just one step you should do first. You need to receive him. Now, there's a whole bunch of people that try to be nice, try to do good, try to do works, but they haven't received Jesus first. And that's the first, everybody say first. First thing you do, first. Because when you have made Jesus the Lord of your life, you do it first because that's what he's done for you. Because of what he's done for you. So some people are trying to, you know, do all of this, and they haven't first asked Jesus into their life. So first, if you want to follow Jesus, you have to invite him in. You want to go, Pastor D, that's a no-brainer. Yeah? I got a lot of people trying to be nice in the world, you know? And they're exhausted, can't do it, frustrated. But you know what? You receive Jesus, and Jesus says, I will come in, and I will take care of that old and change it and put something new. And then follow me. is so much better. So everybody say, first, receive Jesus. Second direction Jesus gives for being a follower is, first you receive him, and then afterwards, he says, get water baptized. Oh, yeah, you're going to mess up my hair, Vanessa. Yeah, don't want that. Listen, it's a command in Matthew that you need to be baptized, water baptized. I didn't even write the command. Jesus did. Okay, but first, you receive Jesus. Second, he says, if you're following me, you will receive me. And if you're following me, you're going to get water baptized. And water baptized is just showing what happened on the inside, you demonstrate it on the outside. I was doing a little history studying about water baptizing. And it's now, we have this 21st century spa underneath there that's set to this nice temperature. I'd ask Brenton what it's set to, but it's very delightful. And it's aerated and it's clean. It's just so nice to jump in. All right? But back in the day, they had creeks and dirty rivers and, you know, scummy fungus growing on things, okay? So what they would do is if you chose to be water baptized, you would first put on this nice white robe. And then you'd put on your street clothes. And then you would, you know, they would water baptize. Do you believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? And you'd come up with all the dirty, scummy, stinky stuff that was in the creek. And you would take off your street clothes and they would float away. And then what would be left is this new, white, pure, white robe. And that's symbolized. And when you, that's what water baptism is. It's just like reminder that because you've asked Jesus into your life, there's been a change in you and that old has passed away and you get a whole new beginning. You're a new creature, brand new. And this is the new and the old. See you later. See you later. Okay. So a lot of times I'll tell people it is absolutely necessary for you to do this because life that you lived was so bad and you need to see something visibly. You need to visibly get wet and think about this. Mm-hmm. But all of you should be water baptized. But what do you have to do first? Accept Jesus, because the rest of it doesn't work. All righty. Now, if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor D, if I died today, I'm not sure where I'd go. I hear you talk about heaven, but I don't know. Well, today you can know. Today, if you want to be a follower, that's the first thing you should do. Or if you're here today and you say, Pastor D, I did that thing, asked Jesus into my life a long time ago, but I have just kind of drifted away. Well, I want to tell you, you can make a fresh commitment today and you can know. So I'm going to say, could you bow your head, close your eyes? I'm going to ask if there's anybody here. No peeking. Close your eyes. I'm not going to make you stand up. I really think you could. But just close your eyes. And I'm going to ask if you'd say, Pastor D, I don't think I'm going to heaven. But I'd like to. Just raise your hand and say, that's me, Pastor D. I would like to know that I'm heaven bound. I would like to receive Jesus, and then I'd be heaven bound. Just raise your hand and say, that's me, Pastor D. I would like to receive Jesus. The Bible calls it being born again or being saved. All right. Now, is there anybody here you'd say, Pastor D, you know, I've had so many years away from. I was a Christian. I probably maybe am a Christian. I'm not really sure if I'm a Christian because I've just moved away, and I'd like to come back. I want a fresh start. Jesus just hands out cards, fresh start. So if you'd raise your hand and say, would you pray for me, Pastor D? Okay. Anybody here say, pray with me, Pastor D. I want a fresh start. Or pray with me, Pastor D. I want to receive Jesus. Okay, I see that hand. Thank you. Now, I want you all just to say this with me, everybody, because we're a team. But the persons that raised their hand, you say this out loud that you can hear. Okay, you say that you can hear. The rest of us are going to join in. We're the team. Okay? All right, so keep your eyes closed for a second here. Here we go. Dear Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for me. He died for my sins. So I open my heart. I invite Jesus into my life. I receive you, Jesus, now. Be Lord of my life. Be Savior of my life. I thank you for coming in. I'm now a child of God. My sins are forgiven. My past is erased. I'm on my way to heaven. And everybody say this, and Jesus is my Lord. Amen. If you prayed that today, I'd love you to come up and let me know. If you prayed that for the first time, or you prayed that because you just needed a fresh start, come up and tell me. I want to know. I want to go, yay. All right. I'm going to have elders come on up front. Elders, you want to come up front? If you want somebody to agree, they're not counseling, okay? They're not going to spend 25 minutes counseling you, okay? But they will agree with you on prayer. If one can put 1,000, two can put 10,000. It's nice to have people agreeing with you, especially if you're the only one praying on this situation. Come on up front. My elders are going to pray with you. Also, you're dismissed. Remember, I have...